Ahead of tonight's City Council meeting, we're joined, as always, by City Manager Eric Hansen to preview some of the key items on the agenda, from sidewalk improvements for school kids to renovations to the Central Fire Station. A lot to cover tonight. So, of course, Eric, thanks a bunch for coming in this morning.
Yeah, happy to be here.
You know, looking at tonight's agenda, we're tearing stuff down, we're building stuff back up. What do you think, Jay?
That's right. I guess the meeting's going to start off with a presentation by Baker Tilly for the fiscal year 2024 audit. What can we expect to hear from that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good year, good clean report. No audit findings. I think you'll hear a lot of what I think you've heard over the for years that, you know, the city's in good financial position, and obviously we have our challenges, but you know, the funds are well managed, and we continue to position ourselves for the future. Obviously, the goal is not to have any significant findings, and you know that was reaffirmed. So. Yeah, I mean, for those that are looking for good bedtime reading, you know, pull out the audit and, you know, dig in. But I think the report will be, pretty straightforward, and obviously positive in terms of how we finished the year and continued to add additional dollars of investment towards our pension and, you know, and capital projects, and still finish the year in a good financial status. So I don't think there'll be any surprises there.
Okay. Couple interesting items on the consent agenda. One's the Safe Routes to School project for the sidewalk improvements near Silas Willard. Can you kind of talk about how that program works?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a program that's been going on now for decades, and just a tremendous opportunity for us to improve access points, walking, biking, pedestrian type for those trying to get in and around schools. Obviously, the focus is, you know, the areas immediately around and adjacent to school areas. This year, this project is Silas Willard. Last year, I think it was King or Lombard. I can't remember. I mean, we kind of pick one each year that and try and apply for funding and expand and improve the sidewalk access and the pedestrian access in and around the school and around the neighborhood. And, you know, just a really great program with a, you know, relatively small match, and allows us to make some improvements in those neighborhoods around those schools.
And this will be on Pfeiffer Street between Willard and Morton Avenue. So
yes,
another item on the consent agenda is kind of interesting, is the you're going to consider the approval of the demolition of the former Maple Avenue fire station. So can you tell us, is it used for anything now, and why is demolition the best option?
Storage. Mainly the building itself is kind of in disrepair. I got a couple of contacts over the weekend, you know, council talking about potentially, you know, people interested in saving it, but it also is right up next to the park and the now they're pickleball courts, right. They were tennis courts. You know, that we're trying to make additional park improvements as well. The facility itself, they don't make fire stations like that anymore. So it's really just a facility that stores some equipment and some miscellaneous stuff for us. And I think there's an opportunity to make some park improvements there at Bateman in the future. And having the space is important. So we'll see how the discussion goes tonight. Staff is bringing it as a means of continuing to look at neighborhood improvement and park improvement at Bateman.
Okay. Tonight's meeting includes the final readings for some ordinances that we discussed at the last time, the National Railroad Hall of Fame lease and the public library land conveyance. Can you just briefly remind us what those two are about?
Sure. The Hall of Fame is pretty straightforward. It, you know, they're looking at leasing land for their facility just to the south and a little bit west of the current depot that the city controls. This is on final reading. I expect this to go through, and obviously allows them to continue moving forward with their quest to build the Railroad Hall of Fame here in Galesburg. And then the other is just the former library there on Simmons Street, the back parking lot to the south, about a few feet, I think, if I remember correctly, of their building is actually on city property. And so we're just reconveying the strip so that they can move forward with disposing of the building.
Okay. Talking to city manager.
Shouldn't say dispose. They'll think I'm tear it down so they can sell it, yeah, or whatever it is they're going to do with it.
Okay. Talking to city manager Eric Hansen ahead of tonight's city council meeting. Two ordinances will be on first reading. Tonight will be proposed amendments to the solar and the wind energy systems. Can you talk about maybe what's happening there?
Sure. This stems out. Obviously, we have a lot of solar activity. We haven't had as much wind activity, obviously, in the city because it takes so much acreage, but a lot of solar activity in the city, some of it consistent and congruent with adjacent zoning and properties, others not so much so. We haven't had any mechanism in place with which to, better control where some of these installations go in within city limits. And so this is about putting some of those parameters around. They're obviously much tighter than we have now because what we have now is nothing. We still leave wiggle room both through the planning and zoning and obviously through the council. If someone has a project that doesn't exactly fit, there's now a variance process so you can go through and still get approval. But it's really modeled after what many communities have done and what many communities did years ago to better establish controls of where these installations may go.
Do you see solar really expanding?
Well, it has been so far. I mean, it's just crazy the number of projects that that have floated our way. I got another call last week. I think on Tuesday, I had a long discussion about a solar project, again adjacent to residential property. And so, you know, from our perspective, this is an important step. I'm not going to get into the debate about the merits, right, of renewable energy. You know, there's some for and some against, but I do believe it is important that we control, you know, where these things go, from a land utilization, from an adjoining property standpoint, and this ordinance helps us do that.
The Central Fire Station sleeping quarters renovation is up for bid approval for $328,000. What specific changes are proposed, and how will those improve conditions for firefighters?
I don't think it's been updated since before I was born, so we'll start there. And I have plenty of gray hairs at this point, so it's been a while. Also, the public may or may not be aware, we actually now have a female firefighter, right, on staff, and the only station that has separate sleeping quarters and space for a female is Fremont. There's one room and one bathroom. So there's obviously some reconfiguration that will allow for additional firefighters, female firefighters in the future, which I think is great. Just updating bathrooms, bedrooms, everything that's up there is kind of makeshift. It's kind of like the land time forgot, honestly, when I toured it. It's going to modernize the facility. People appreciate it. I mean, in some cases, depending on, you know, they're there for 24 hours at a time. Right. They basically live there. And, you know, if by trading or covering or whatever, I mean, some are there for 2 days at a time. And that's kind of their home. So obviously we want to make it, a good quality environment for them, so that they can do the important job that they do. And this is a project that honestly is long overdue.
I was going to say, it's hard to believe that has not been really renovated since the
since the 70s.
Built. Yeah, yeah. The proposed hangar land lease agreement for the airport aims to streamline private hangar construction. How will that benefit the city?
We would love to see private investment, obviously, whether it's more companies like Jet Air or, you know, folks that just, you know, are more hobbyists that have planes. But either way, it's additional private investment. And then, you know, obviously, if they're using our airport, they're likely buying the fuel. They're coming in and out. They're drawing activity. So it's a good program. Many, many municipal airports do this. And I think this is a positive step for us. We've had some interest in folks interested in building hangars here, not dissimilar to what goes on like down in Quincy, Macomb, Iowa City, Burlington. I mean, there's other municipal airports that have the same type of program. So we have a nice airstrip, a really good airstrip, you know, that dates back to the days of the when we had commercial service here.
Right.
And so there's a lot of additional potential at the airport that we can tap. But the best part of this is, you know, it's private hangar construction, which, you know, we provide them the land and they put in the facility. And then obviously at the end of the term, it reverts back to the city. So I think it's a win-win scenario.
Where would that be? Is it similar, close to like where the other hangars are?
Some depends. the smaller hangars will be, you know, in the same area as where the current hangars are. Obviously, we have quite a bit of ground out there to the east and to the north. But you know, if another company or facility, not necessarily like Jet Air, but a company that would need a larger hangar, that would go in the same row along the tarmac. So we're in the middle of an airport layout plan study. All this is kind of being mapped out, and this kind of goes hand in hand with our future look at the airport.
I know this is kind of routine, but it's interesting how it works. The intergovernmental agreement for the state routes that, you know, that includes Henderson Street,
sure,
from Main to Sandberg Drive, Main Street to Henderson to Grand, and those Linwood Road is up for renewal. Mm-hmm. Can you explain the city's role in maintaining those roads and how the state's compensation supports the work?
Yeah, well, obviously, we want to be a good partner, but the compensation's pretty minimal.
Okay.
$84,000 a year doesn't do a whole lot considering the amount of road miles that we cover.
Yeah.
I'll defer to Tyler. He can probably vouch for that as well. So one of the good parts is, right, so when it's snow removal and those kind of things, obviously our crews are out, we'll hit them faster. One of the frustrating parts, you know, I got an email last week, and you know, if you go up and down Henderson Street as an example, you know, the road is buckled in a few places, mm-hmm, and you know, the real fix needs to happen is, you know, is really a state function. We can go in, we can patch it, we can try and smooth it down and make it better, but they don't give us the resources to actually go in and fix it. I'm not even going to go into Grand Avenue, but I think that speaks for itself. You know, and then that stretch between Academy and the Circle.
Exactly. I was just thinking that exactly this morning when I was driving.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
Right. And so we do our best to maintain. Our crews do a really good job and don't get enough credit for the job that they do. But in this case, you know, we provide some basic maintenance. We certainly will fill in holes. We'll address issues. But then we will also work with the state to say, hey, this isn't a patch job. This is a repair. You need to come in and make it. And so it kind of goes hand in hand. But from a snowplow standpoint, from a salting standpoint, from a general road maintenance, it's more efficient to do it this way.
Okay. As long as we're on streets and roads, can you give us a little bit of an update on the Simmons Street project?
Yeah, I believe that they are planning on being out of the Prairie intersection next week.
Oh, okay.
I think. What's this? Today's the 7th?
Yeah.
So sometime around next week.
Like they need to add a traffic light there, maybe.
7 to 10 days in that area, I think. And then they're moving down to the other end. Obviously, they've got about half the parking lot tore up, and they've got the other half to go. So once they get down to the other end. But it is progressing. Obviously, for the folks, you know, in the downtown, and specifically this area, not fast enough. And we certainly understand that. But by and large, it's on schedule and moving forward.
Okay. How about the rest of the summer? What's it looking like for the city? Any projects or anything coming up?
Well, I mean, obviously road projects. We've got resurfacing going on. We're still working on the pickleball courts, right? So that's the project that we're hoping to get some determination on. It's also event season. You know, the balloon races are coming up soon. The Stearman Fly-In is right around the corner. The fair, I think, is this week.
Right.
Right. So, you know, a lot of things going on in the area. And then from a project standpoint, obviously, between now and fall, between roads and water, and obviously park improvements are pretty busy. I think they're putting up a shelter currently, or finishing up a shelter at Dale Kelly Park. Hopefully the work will start soon on Cook Park. We obviously have those bids in. We're just waiting for some of the materials that are on back order, but once they are in and available, that'll get started as well. And this is the time of year when all the construction's happening and we have everything tore up, and people are generally unhappy with us until it's finished. So I think our crews are doing a good job. So, we expect July and August especially to be pretty busy.